Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And our programming can be found in podcast form wherever you like to get those podcasts. Well, very few people know who and what God is. There are so many false concepts of what God is. One of these very deceptive false concepts is that of the Trinity doctrine. And even when shown the plain truth of who and what God is, the fact that He is a family, many people have a hard time getting that old false Trinity concept out of their minds. There's a lot of peer pressure to believe the common teaching. And for a lot of people, the Trinity is simply the common teaching that they've heard. And that Trinity doctrine says that God is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there's somehow three beings, but they're one being. It's pretty confusing, and people don't really dig into it too much because it's hard to understand, and there's a reason it's hard to understand, because it just doesn't make sense, and it's not what the Bible teaches. When it comes to understanding God, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is simply the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. That's simple and true and straightforward, but yet so many people have grown up their entire lives being told a lie about what the Holy Spirit is, and a lie about who and what God is, and probably the people teaching that lie had also been lied to, and they probably didn't know any better. Just because somebody teaches a lie doesn't mean it's intentional. Sometimes they just don't know. They're just regurgitating what they were taught. But we need to go beyond just what people say or what we've heard. And we've got to look into the Bible and really see what the Bible says. Now, sometimes there's a bit of an intimidation to do that because often we find that what the Bible says is not what people say. And then what do we do about that? Well, we need to look into the Word of God and see what He says about who and what He is. After all, He would know, and He can teach us. But why so many lies? Why do people believe this? Well, let's be reminded of something first in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And we'll look at a few passages today. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these scriptures together and see for yourself what the Bible says. Revelation 12 and verse 9, vitally important truth. Here it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan," and notice what he does. It says, "which deceives the whole world." Satan, the devil, deceives the whole world. He's a liar. Jesus Christ talked about that in John 8. He's a liar. He tells lies. That's what he does, and he's good at it. And his lies deceive people. And they don't know oftentimes that they're deceived. They think that they're just going the way that everybody would go and what they think is true. And it's the common thought on things. Therefore, it must be true. But here we read very clearly, Satan deceives the whole world. So when it comes to God, we have to understand that God is a family. And currently there is God the Father. He's the head of the family. That's one being. And then he has his son, Jesus Christ. Two distinct beings. And man has the chance to be born into that family by a resurrection. We'll take a look at that later. God's family is going to expand. And God's Spirit is the power by which he creates. God's Spirit is that power that he uses to create. Notice Jeremiah 32. We see this very clearly here in Jeremiah. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about God's Spirit and the power of that Spirit, what it does. But we only have time to look at a few. So let's just look at Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. At the end of the program, I'll mention a few things that you could read and do more in-depth study. But Notice Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. It says, "Ah, eternal God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." So God's power, his Holy Spirit, how did he make heaven and earth? By his great power, by the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible power. It's a power that he uses to create. Notice this quote. This is from Lesson 8 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and that's a free course at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have that, you can sign up for it there, and it's a wonderful course. It will take you through a lot of these very important subjects in your Bible and show you the scriptures to really look and see what the Bible says on these topics. And it has a quote here about God's Spirit. It says, "It was by the Spirit of God that the Eternal, or the Logos, who became Christ, created the entire vast universe. Invisible spirit energy was literally transformed into the material creation." You can look at Hebrews 11 and verse 3. "And it was by the power of his Spirit that God renewed the surface of the earth." You can read Psalms 104 and verse 30. So we see from several passages here that God's power, his Holy Spirit, is something that he uses to create. That's what he's used that power for. But people will have counterpoints to this biblical truth that God's a family, that his Holy Spirit is the power of God. And most likely they'll say, what about 1 John 5 verses 7 through 8? And that's a really good question. That's a great question, in fact. And that is a question that should definitely be asked and looked into. So let's look into that passage. Let's look into 1 John 5 verses 7 and 8, because it does seem to talk about the Trinity. But let's look at it and see really what's going on. 1 John 5 verses 7 and 8. Here's how it reads if you open up a King James Version. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Well, that's pretty straightforward. "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." And so you could look at that and say, well, right there, that's the Trinity. Of course, people teach that and believe it. It says so right there, and we're supposed to look at the Bible and see what it says, and here's what it says. But there's something that's off here. It does sound like a Trinity for sure. I mean, how can this be explained? Well, we need to look into God's Word and really make sure we understand what it says. This scripture is actually not originally written in the Bible, not all of it. It's actually part of Satan's lie. Remember, Satan deceives the whole world, and he's worked to pervert scripture and twist scripture, and in some cases, he even adds to scripture. So would you believe the original scriptures are different from what we just read? What we just read there in 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8, is not originally in the Bible. Not like they have it. They've added some things. Here's how it really reads. This is the original scripture, 1 John 5, 7 through 8. It originally was written this way. "For there are three that bear record, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." These three agree in one, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Well, that's a lot different than what we just read before. How were these extra words added? Well, again, notice a quote from Lesson 8 of the Correspondence Course. "The words omitted in the above quote, but included in the King James Version of 1611, are left out of most modern translations of the Bible for a very good reason. The added words in the authorized King James Version are spurious." In other words, it's a fraud. They were added by a human. God didn't inspire that. Somebody just decided on their own to write that in. It says these words, implying that there is a Trinity, first appeared in a 4th century Latin text, probably as a marginal note by a copyist who believed in the Trinity doctrine. These words are not found in any respectable Greek manuscript, but entered the text of the Latin Vulgate by the 8th century after Christ. These words were added. It was not inspired by God. The quote continues, "The editors of both liberal and conservative Bible commentaries, ancient and modern, agree as to the fraudulent origin of the King James rendering of 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8. Notice the following statements from two modern commentaries. This first one is the New Bible Commentary Revised, which is a pretty conservative commentary. It says the words are clearly a gloss and are rightly excluded by the Revised Standard Version, even from its margin. Now, Peake's commentary on the Bible, that one is a little more liberal. It says this, the famous interpolation after three witnesses is not printed in the Revised Standard Version, and rightly, no respectable Greek manuscript contains it. Appearing first in a late 4th century Latin text, it entered the Vulgate and finally the New Testament of Erasmus, and eventually the King James Version. So you can see these were not original words in the original scripture. It was added by somebody who wanted to believe in the Trinity doctrine and thought, well, let's just add something to put it in the Bible. Well, why would you add it? Why would you have to? Why would you have to? But so again, down to our time today, you know, those who falsely teach the Trinity doctrine, in most cases, they've been falsely taught themselves. And it's very hard to admit a mistake and to change because it's just common to go along with this teaching. This lie of the Trinity doctrine has been taught for many years, and it's very much ingrained in people's thinking, but that doesn't make it true. Generations of families have grown up believing in this false doctrine, but it is a false doctrine. Here's a quote from a free booklet that we offer at thetrumpet.com called God is a Family. It gets into some more detail about this. The quote says, think about this. Why would this supposed support for the Trinity be added hundreds of years after the Bible was finished? If the Trinity was already plainly provable in the Bible, why would you have to bother? I mean, if it's already in the Bible, why would you have to add anything? Well, it says the answer is that the Trinity is nowhere to be found in the Bible, and the desperate attempt to force this insertion into inspired scripture is proof of that. And of course, there's a grave warning in the Bible about adding to or taking away from scriptures. So this is something God takes very seriously, because if anything's added or taken away, well, it deceives people. And who's the deceiver? Who's the liar? Satan's the liar. And the Trinity doctrine, it's an interesting thing, because why would anybody want it to be true anyway? What's the benefit in believing it? The actual truth, the actual biblical truth, is far better. Man can be born into the very family of God. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 15. This here that we're about to read is inspired. It is inspired scripture. It wasn't added by somebody. Later, God inspired it. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53. Notice this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. You know, we, as a human being, we're not going to be in the kingdom of God. That's not possible. We have to be spirit. We have to be God. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. And again, that's very true, right? It is a mystery. People are confused because of all the deception of Satan. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. He's talking about death, but we shall all be changed. Some will be alive at Christ's return and be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed, what does he mean by that? Well, he means change from flesh and blood to spirit being. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is the plan that God has for mankind, that man can be born into his family. We just read about that here. Now, Satan is the one who hates the God family potential of mankind, and that's why he lies and deceives, as we read in Revelation 12. He hates it. Satan is the one who introduced the lies of the Trinity. He doesn't mind if people use the name of Christ, but he just wants them to not understand God the Father and Jesus Christ and the God family. and he confuses people on it. He doesn't want people to know what God is offering them. Now remember, we need to look to the Word of God for instruction, not the common teaching of man. If that teaching does not square with the Scripture, then we can't follow it, then it's not right. And it doesn't matter how long somebody's been teaching something that's false. If it's false, it's false. And we need to be following the instruction of God's Word. Satan works very hard to pervert and twist Scripture. You can read Matthew 4, verses 5 and 7. That's where Jesus Christ was having this titanic battle against Satan. And Satan starts quoting Scripture to Jesus Christ, except he leaves a little bit out. He tries to deceive Jesus Christ himself. Of course, Christ didn't fall for that. He knew the Word of God, and he lived by every word of God, and he defeated Satan. But Satan really works to pervert and twist Scripture. And in the case of 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8, he actually had a person add words that God did not inspire. Just add a lie right in there. Something that God didn't inspire at all. And so look at how far Satan will go to destroy the truth of God's plan for mankind. That alone tells you how special and amazing God's family plan is. I mean, if Satan's willing to do whatever it takes to deceive people on it and to lie about it, well, you know it's got to be amazing. And it is. And the Bible tells us much about it. We've got some great information about who and what God really is, and you can learn about that in our free booklet, God is a Family, that's at thetrumpet.com. It gets into a lot more detail than what we had time for here today. Also, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, in particular, Lesson 8, talks about God's Spirit and the Trinity and the truth about God being a family. And for those that have believed in the Trinity, this isn't to insult you or make you feel bad about it. There's a lot of things that people are taught and they think it's true, but it turns out it's not. But when we look into God's Word, then we can see what the truth of it is. And then it's up to us as to what we'll do about it. We really need to look into God's Word and understand His plan. It's an incredible plan. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.